What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 199. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. How's it going, Bob? Just another Wednesday night. Ready for the podcast.
Wednesday night, podcast night. I'm pretty excited about that. We got our first snow here in Pittsburgh, which...
Quite a bit, or just like a dusting, or what?
It was like a couple inches. It was like... Usually, like, a first snow here is, like, nothing, and then, like, by the middle of the day, it's gone.
Yeah.
But it was, it's still on the ground right now, which is, like, that's just not normal,
I would say. Some flurries, like, over the weekend or on Monday, I think. But, yeah, it was really cold the other morning, like, 8 degrees or something. It was pretty chilly this morning, but it warmed up.
And it made me realize that, like, winter is finally here. Like, it wasn't really all that bad here. Mm-hmm. And then this hit, and I'm like, okay, I might need a new winter jacket.
Yeah.
Like, all that. So, for everybody following along here on YouTube, we do have our show notes page up. And everybody listening to the audio, you'll be able to check out the show notes page as well. But it is live on the site. And it's in the description of the video. So, if you want to follow along, you'll be able to see what I have on my screen right here with everything that we're going to talk about this week. But let's just jump right into reviews this week. And I got to take a look at another graphics card. It seems like every week I'm taking a look.
Yeah, you've had like one every week for last month. I know.
That's not a bad thing. It's a lot of work, I would say. Yeah. But I can't say it's a bad thing, right? So I got to take a look at my first RTX 2080 Super, which I was... Super excited about, right? Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, we've seen the Super Series come in, and it's been like more of a reaction, in all honesty, like a reaction to what AMD was doing.
Sure.
For the most part.
Maybe not at this level, but yeah.
Yeah, I like the Super Series, at least in my opinion, didn't really need to exist. I like that it exists for the fact that it gives gamers better value for their money compared to when the RTX 20 series launched, I would say. But the card that we took a look at today is from Zotac. It's their Amp Edition. So it has a slight overclock. It has a custom cooling solution. And that's basically it. I mean, it's like these supercards. Yeah, the thing about the supercards is like we're not seeing, when we went from 10 series to 20 series, we saw all new designs. We saw... Yeah. New things added to the card. When we're going from 20 series to 20 super series, you're not seeing much. Like this actual cooling solution is from one of their 2080 cards. It's the same cooling solution. It's just
an iteration, right?
It's just iteration. It's not like we're getting something new. 2080 super in general is only like 5 to 7% faster than the 2080. So just that in general makes me like wonder, like, why is this card here? Like, why does it exist? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like my big thing with this card is like, I know that Zotac had to put it out because it's a new card, I guess. But like, that's not their fault. You know, it's really Nvidia's fault. Like, I just have to ask Nvidia, like, why does this card exist? Because it doesn't need to. It's not an incremental update over the 2080.
Sure.
And it's not an update like the 2070 Super was, where the 2070 Super, you were at least getting 15%, if not, 20 to 25% better performance than the 2070 with the 2070 Super. With this, you're getting like 5 to 6% better performance. It's just...
Yeah, they kind of squeezed all they can out of that GPU, I think.
Yeah, so like that just kind of bothers me. And again, I don't fault Zotac for this because I mean, what are they going to do?
They're going to put out a card, right?
Yeah, they're going to put out a card. This is one of their, it's not their like stock card, but it does have a small factory overclock. You do get this custom cooling solution, which is a dual fan solution, which I do like the dual fan.
It looks like a pretty basic solution though. Like this card, I can't get away from just looking at it, looks like a generic cooler to me.
It is It is kind of like their design, but it is kind of like a generic cooler. There's not a whole lot of lighting on it. You get lighting here on the side. You know what I mean? You do get a backplate, but it is a, like I said, this is like their one, this is like one iteration up from their basic card, if that makes sense. So you're not going to get a whole lot. And again, I don't think that AIBs are, as I say, super excited. I don't think they're really excited about the Super Series, at least, especially in this one. You know, they have to put out the cards, but they're not, you know, jumping on like new cooler designs. They're not doing any of that because these just, I don't think, are going to sell. I mean, you know, if you had a 1070 in the 2070 came out, you might have wanted to upgrade, right?
Right.
But if you have a 2070 or a 2080, what makes you want to get a 2080, a super? Nothing. Like, there's not, you know, again, this is just to combat against AMD. And it's just, I just don't feel that this card needs to exist at all. Sure. I don't feel that it needs to exist.
Well, since it does, like, how's it perform?
It performs good. I mean, this is going to be a 2080 super. We categorize these cards like, 2060 is like more or less a 1080p card. The 2070 or 2070 super is your 1440p card. This technically is a 4K card. It all depends on what games you play and what settings. This can easily do 1080p at super high refresh rate. So if you have that 144 hertz monitor, this will do 1080p no problem. At 1440p, this is going to do extremely high frame rates as well, like 100 to 120 frames in all brand new AAA titles. And then in 4K, again, it depends, but you can get over 60 FPS in a lot of titles.
Sure.
So, you know, it works out pretty well in that. If, like, again, if you want a game in 4K, it is also the only 4K capable card under $1,000.
Okay.
So you have that as well. But yeah, like I said, this iteration from Zotac, again, it's just their amp card. It's $729.99, so it's like a $30 premium.
Okay.
With that $30 premium, you get a slight overclock. You get the custom cooling solution and all of that. So $30 is worth it, I would say, for what you're getting. I would never say go reference because you're just not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not a good idea to go reference. And it, the fans, I did also mention the fans were a little loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah, their blade design looked, that's kind of one of the first things I thought when I saw the fan blades, was they looked like they might
it's
be a little
loud. It's not like some cards we've seen in the past where it's super loud, but compared to, you know, like I said, I've been basically reviewing a card a week. It has been one of the louder cooling solutions. So keep that in mind, but for $30 over MSRP of a reference card, I think it is worth it. But again, these cards are just like not exciting, especially the 2080 Super. They're just not exciting cards unless you get the complete maxed out version. And again, that complete maxed out version, like their Amp Extreme, their you know, that's the complete maxed out version. It looks exactly like the 2080 card. They haven't done anything visually different except for make it say super
and a sticker. Yeah.
Yes, a sticker and you know, better performance, obviously.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's that review. Definitely check it out if you're looking for a 2080 Super. It is a good card. It's just, again, I just don't see why these need to exist. But if you are buying, you know, building a new system or buying a new graphics card or upgrading from, say, like a 10 series, this is a nice upgrade. I actually have it in the system that's running our stream right now because it is a good card. So definitely check that out. And we'll go to our next review here, which is of some very high performance memory and very high performance memory that actually lacks RGBs, which
another kit.
So last week
had one too.
Last week we had the Patriot Viper kit or Viper Steel kit, and now we have the Ballistics Elite. So for Ballistics, that is Micron or Crucial. That is their gaming line. So they're calling everything Ballistics. So for those who aren't familiar, that's kind of what Ballistics is. And this is their highest end DDR4 kit. We have the 3600 megahertz kit, but it also comes in 4000 megahertz. Pretty tight timings for that high. You're looking at 16, 18, 18, 38 at 1.35 volts. That is very good because at 1.35 volts, 3600 megahertz is kind of the high end.
Getting kind of up there.
Because the Viper Steel that we looked at last week was at 4,000 megahertz, and that was at 1.4 or 1.45, I forget, one of those two. But this is a great memory kit. It actually comes with some of the beefiest heat sinks that I've ever seen. Like this kit, the modules weigh a lot. So when you pick them up, you're like,
yeah, I've seen those. You know, some previous Ballistics, you know, that look similar to this. And yeah, that's one thing I remember is that they were really beefy and heavy.
Which is nice. That means that one, they have like a nice heat sink. It's not like some crap metal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They look really great. Honestly, like if you're not a fan of RGBs, this is definitely a kit to look at. It's black, with a black PCB. It's going to match pretty much any build out there, unless your build's like crazy RGB, obviously. But they look really nice and they perform really well. They were in our top end of DDR4 modules that we've tested. And like I said, they look great. You have the Ballistics logo on the top there. And they're just a great kit. Like, there's really not a whole lot wrong with this kit. I think in memory in general, it's really hard to find things that are really wrong.
Sure.
They are slightly expensive. So for the 16 gig kit that we reviewed, they're $148.99. That is on the high end. A few, like, you know, there are some other brands that are a little bit higher. The Corsair Dominator Platinums are higher and like the exact same kit. So DDR4 3600 is a little, is I think $20 more more than this. But they are on the high end, but you are getting like, this is like the top end of the Ballistics line. You do get a lifetime warranty, as most memory modules do have these days as well.
Yeah.
It is, like I said, it's a good kit. I just think it's priced slightly high for
That price jump between, you know, once you get up to that 3600, 4000 is, to me, one of the more surprising pieces to the memory world right now. I've been so used to memory prices going down and down and seeing some of these faster kits still going for 150 plus. It's pretty surprising.
Yeah, I mean, when you get up to this type of speed too, and the thing that's nice about these I didn't mention is the overclocking. When you get up this high, especially on Intel systems, like it's kind of hard to push further. Mm-hmm. But I was actually able to get these up to 3900 megahertz.
It's a pretty good overclock.
That's by bumping the voltage up to 1.4 volts, but it's the exact same timings, which is good. So I was able to do that. I've seen people get these even higher with like really crazy high voltages. You know, so this is going to be a kit that has a lot of overclocking headroom. So if you are an enthusiast, you want to do some overclocking, you could easily run this kit at much higher than the XMP has. So I still think I think it's a great kit, and I think that, you know, it does garner some of that higher price, but you can obviously find kits that run at the same speed at lower price, and even some with RGB lighting. So again, but I think if you want RGB lighting, you're obviously not looking at this kit anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10. Definitely check out the review. It's like I said, it's really great memory, and it's great to see, you know, we saw it with Patriot and now we see it here with Ballistics, is that we have high-end memory kits that do not have RGB lighting, because it's a big thing these days, is that we, you know, we get all of these high-end kits now, they're all RGB. And if you don't want to spend the extra money for RGB, or you just don't want RGB, like you just want like a matte black build, it's good to have options. So it's good that Ballistics has this kit. So we have that option, which is nice. I do want to say what's up to DB in the chats on YouTube. If you guys are, you know, watching the stream, go ahead and say what's up, because we do have a chat there. You guys can go ahead and chat with us, ask us questions and everything like that. But we'll move to a solid state drive, which is a 2.5 inch solid state drive. And I actually haven't reviewed a 2.5 inch solid state drive
for a while.
You know, SATA 6 gig or SATA 3 or whatever you want to call it, it's been limited to the same speed for a long time.
Performance wise, we're not gonna get too much more out of these things.
Yeah, you're not gonna get much more out of it. So, you know, we've seen drives and we've seen companies, you know, come out with drives and they're all the same, and for us as enthusiasts, it's not it's not exciting. It's just, you know, it's not super exciting. But you know, you do eventually, everybody eventually needs to replace their hard drives, whether it's, whether you're an enthusiast and, you know, you have your M.2s for, you know, your OS drive and stuff like that, but you still have those old hard drives for games and media and things like that.
Bulk storage.
Or, you know, you're just somebody who has an older computer that you, you know, you need a, you need an OS drive, and you might not even have the ability to go to the M.2 route, or you just don't want to spend the money for the M.2 route. So that's where I still think 2.5 inch SSDs are completely viable. I have some in this system here just for, you know, big, large storage. So we took a look at the ADATA SU750, the 1 terabyte version. And that's what this is. I think that this is a drive that easily replaces that old large capacity hard drive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm kind of the same way. Sure, my OS is on an NVMe M.2 drive, but I've got two 2.5 inch SATA drives as my game drive. So, but that being said, right, like we did an article a while back moving from a hard drive to a solid state drive in a laptop and showing those performance increases. This is what exactly what this type of drive is designed for.
Yeah.
So,
you know, so on average, 550 megabytes a second write and 520 megabytes a second read. It performed pretty close to that. And I think in general, we don't see, we don't always see drives hit their advertised numbers, but this drive did fine. Right. It does not have a
no DRAM, right?
Yeah, no DRAM cache on this. But in our tests, where we do actually test that, let me figure out which page I'm on. It did pretty well. Like you, it, because it does use SLC caching. You know, we wrote almost, you know, I guess you would say up to 25% of the drive, and then you get a little performance decrease. And then when you get up to 40% of the drive full, then you see a little more decrease. This is for sustained writes, which if you're doing sustained writes,
yeah, this probably isn't the drive you want to use anyways.
Like if you're gaming, you're, it's all reads, right?
Yeah.
It's all reads. And if you're playing media, it's all reads. So that's not something you have to worry about. We obviously put it in the review to show you guys. But you know, you can see the read graph is completely solid across the board throughout the entire, drive. So like I said, I think that this is a great drive for anybody looking to replace a standard hard drive. And I think that 2.5 inch SSDs definitely still have a place for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I remember like doing one of my first SSD reviews, and this is back when SSDs were like, not even this fast,
and 32 gigs.
Yeah, like I remember booting Windows for the first time from a hard drive to an SSD, and I was like, "This is the future."
Yep.
And this is like one of those things where like when you upgrade, you can immediately tell the difference. If you have an OS drive and you switch to an SSD from a hard drive, you will immediately tell the difference. Like we used to time it back in the day. We don't anymore because it's kind of irrelevant at this point, but it would be like 45 seconds for a hard drive and like 12 to 13 seconds, like, you know, from a cold boot to Windows loadings, like to Windows log on screen. So that's kind of the difference. So it's a big difference, I feel. But this drive, the 1 terabyte is selling for $89.99. I think that's 8 cents a gig or something
8.9 cents a gig.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could do math. Yeah. it does come a 3-year warranty, which is kind of standard for these non crazy high performance drives. So yeah, like I said, another great product. I mean,
there's not a lot to talk about other than like, they're great additions to systems for, you know, adding that extra storage or just upgrading in general to a solid state drive.
Like I said, I just think that the way I went about this review is like, this is for people who want to replace their hard drive. And that's kind of what SSDs obviously were, but now we have NVMEs, and if you don't have the ability to upgrade to an NVMe, or you just don't want to spend that money, or you just want to replace like a high capacity drive, this is kind of like the way to go. And like I said, it's under $100 for a terabyte, which is a lot more space than most people will take up. So
So
definitely check out that review. All three reviews this week were 9 out of 10s, which is pretty awesome. Some really good products this week. But yeah, let's jump into our video this week. And I had a lot of fun making this one, even though I feel like I look really tired in the video. But I did a video on the ASRock RX 5700 XT Tai Chi XOC. It's their Tai Chi graphics card. It's the first Tai Chi graphics card, which I thought we have to make a video on it.
Because, well, sure.
But yeah, I go over it. We already talked about the card. Was it not last podcast, but podcast?
It was 2 ago. Yep.
Yeah, 2 ago. So we already talked about it. But check out the video. It's always great to see things in video. And this card is absolutely beautiful. And I think that the video definitely conveys that more than photos do. Cool. So definitely check that out. The link is in the show notes and everything like that. But definitely check that out because it's still my favorite. It's my favorite RX 5700 XT for sure. Mm-hmm. So definitely check that out. And we skipped it last week because I guess I forgot to put it on the show notes. So we didn't do Case Mod Friday last week for some reason. But this week I didn't forget and I put it on the show notes. So if you guys don't know what Case Mod Friday is, it's where we, you know, feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community just to show some love to all these builders and to show you what you can really do with computer components. Because I think over the past, you know, I don't know how many years, it's just blown up and it's people really make some really awesome things. So this one is called the ROG suitcase and it's actually it's in a suitcase, as you can see here. And what's really cool about it is that we've seen stuff like this. We've seen briefcase computers, but like, they're not really crazy in depth, but I feel this one is like, I mean, you have a completely water cooled system in here.
Well, and like that frame that everything's mounted on, all this custom parts, it's amazing.
They gutted most of the suitcase and they made these custom and like these yellow pieces, which are all metal. And obviously this one houses the hardware. You have a mini ITX system here. I don't know what card that is, but you still have like, you have a full graphics card in there, everything. And you have this awesome, like water cooling part here with like custom built with the channels and everything. It just looks awesome. I think it's really cool. Like imagine showing up to a LAN party and just busting this thing open. This side, you do have a display and you have your keyboard and mouse in there as well. Everything's good to go. This was done for the Asus RO, or I think it's just the ROG. I think it's called the ROG convention in, I forget where.
Where do they do that?
I think it's over in either Thailand or Vietnam. They do it. But it's just like, I mean, if you look at this build, I mean, it's just a great, like I said,
it is really cool.
It's well done. It's just, you know, I don't know. I just fell in love with it. I thought it was really unique. We do a lot of like traditional case mods, and this is in a suitcase. And I think it's really cool. And I think that to be able to do this in a suitcase is really impressive. I don't think I could do this normally. So the fact that it's done in this small space and everything, and he even like, you know, the little things like this little panel right here that has the USB port, and everything. It's just, it's really cool.
Well, and I like the power at the bottom, that plug, the bottom left, you know, kind of, it's really cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. So definitely check that out. As I always say too, we do have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. That you guys can check out on the site. So obviously if this is not your thing, you can go ahead and check out something else. We have a ton of builds on there from like the past like 5 years. So definitely check that out. And we still have a few days left in our contest with Cooler Master. So if you guys are not familiar, we are giving away a Cooler Master ML240P Mirage. That's one of their AIOs. It's their 240 millimeter AIO. With RGB lighting and everything like that. And on top of that, you'll get that plus their MWE Gold 750-watt power supply. Still 3 days to enter. If you guys are listening to audio, there'll probably be like 2.5 days left. Definitely get in on this. Super easy to enter. There's 16 different ways to get an entry in. So you can actually have up to 16 entries, which is awesome. But definitely get your entry in on this. Just free stuff that we're giving you, and definitely stay tuned because when that ends, we'll have another contest. Definitely stay tuned for that as well. And we are going to news, and it's a slow news week.
It was very slow news week.
There was a lot of just like, here's our new case and here's our new thing. And I don't like, sometimes I like talking about that stuff if it's really crazy, but they're just, some of the stuff was just kind of boring.
Yeah.
But we do have some graphics card news. First we have,
go ahead. Another great looking card from ASRock, man.
Yeah. So ASRock finally released
it out of the park.
I believe they are. They're, as I talked about in the video, they're like making products for people. Like, they're not just like putting stuff out there to say, oh, we sell graphics cards too.
Yeah.
So they announced their RX 5700 series Phantom Gaming. So again, we saw the Tai Chi and now we have Phantom Gaming. I do think these cards still look pretty good. I would say, at least for me, they're not as good looking as the Tai Chi card. But they're still, for like, for the RX 5700 series, they do look good.
Yeah, I mean, that they've got that, their Phantom Gaming's kind of that silver and gray, red, and black. So the RGB looks a little funky with that color scheme to me.
Yeah,
I think I that's the only thing that bothers me. Other than that, yeah, I think it's a good looking card.
Yeah, so they'll have a 5700 XT and a 5700 for this Phantom Gaming. I just, the thing I, and I did talk about in the Tai Chi video, like you, I keep on telling you guys to check out the video, but I talk about how ASRock has been only been making graphics cards for a little over a year. Yep. And this is like their second run of cards, and like, they look really good.
Yeah.
Even if they have other issues, like just the fact that they're putting out cards that look just as good as companies that have been making cards for over 10 years. Like, that's impressive to me. And as I said, it shows that they really want to, you know,
they're like, taking it serious.
They're taking it serious. And like, this is a serious business. It's not like, hey, we're an AMD partner. We're just making these so we can sell some more, like, or make some money or whatever. Right. They're like, you know, we're going to make these for gamers. We're going to make these for people who actually want this stuff, not just to fill a quota or whatever. So I really like this. I don't know the pricing. They didn't release. This is just a press release. So I don't know if the pricing, but I would expect a premium. The Tai Chi card, which is like more the higher end card, these should be a little bit lower. So I would say probably $40 to $50 over MSRP.
Okay.
Probably. I would guess. That's my guess. I don't know. And then we had Sapphire.
No, Gigabyte, right?
No, Sapphire. Oh, wait. Well, I guess we could. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll go to Gigabyte first. I totally forgot about this one. So Gigabyte's released renders of an Aorus RX 5700 XT. So Gigabyte did release their like RX 5700 XTs. But only under the Gigabyte line. And Aorus line is their hardcore gaming line. It's their highest end of highest end. And we haven't seen a 5700 XT for some reason. Like, people wanted it. You know, Aorus for RGB lighting. We know it for, you know, super high overclocks. So people were like, AMD people, they want this card. Especially if you're an Aorus fan. You know, you have an Aorus motherboard. You want an Aorus graphics card.
Things match, yep.
Yeah. So they released on Reddit, their community manager released this render or these renders, which show the card, which looks pretty nice. Gigabyte has stuck with this kind of cooling design, on most of their cards. And it's a great cooling solution. Like, the actual cooling solution is good. As far as looks, I'm just not 100% sold on it. And I haven't been since they started this with the 20 series of NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And it's been like the same I think
it looks pretty good, but I don't know.
Yeah. And like I said, I do like that they finally put RGB in it, because that was definitely missing on all the NVIDIA cards.
Previous cards, yeah.
Yeah, so you do have RGB lighting there. Of course, you need it. It's an Aorus. Aorus means RGB, basically. So you do have RGB lighting. You have full cover backplate, which I assume is metal, not plastic, and everything like that.
Looks like So a switch there for your BIOSes.
Yeah, so it should be dual BIOS card, as most of these are. So exciting for that. They said available, it's going to go into mass production this upcoming week, and should be available 2 to 3 weeks after that. So if you're looking, if you've been waiting
pretty soon,
or you want that Aorus card, it will be coming out. So definitely stay tuned for that one. And then we also have, as I tried to skip it and go right to it. Sapphire, or well, these pictures were actually leaked. Sapphire will be coming out with a special edition of their Nitro Plus RX 5700 XT. We reviewed the Nitro Plus. It's a great card. At the time, it was the best that Sapphire could do.
Sure.
But they're going to release this card, which these ARGB fans were like an add-in that you could buy for the other card.
I remember that, yeah.
But you're not just getting ARGB fans, but you will get ARGB fans, which is kind of cool. This is going to be like the bling bling card because you're going to have three ARGB fans going that have clear fan blades, which is pretty cool. And I felt like on the Nitro Plus card, I felt the lack of like kind of like any RGB on the front.
Right.
There just wasn't any. So I kind of
lacking there.
Yeah, lacking there. So this definitely makes up for that. And then you're going to get the highest factory overclock that Sapphire will have on a graphics card, at least unless they make a toxic, which I don't know if they are. But it's going to be maximum boost speed is 2035 megahertz. That's compared to 2010. That was on the Nitro Plus.
Okay.
They're also overclocking the memory. So you don't see a lot of these cards with overclocked memory. But yeah, instead of 14 gigabit, it's going to be 14.4. So it's, you know, just getting some more overclocking in there. You're also going to get the ARGB fans. This will be a limited SKU. So it's special edition or limited edition. Don't know how many pieces, but it will go on sale November 15th.
Looks like it has a light bar there too.
Yeah. So the original Nitro Plus had a light bar.
Okay.
And then they don't show the back plate, but the back plate has some RGB lighting as well.
Okay.
So it's cool. I want a toxic card from Sapphire. Toxic has always been this
super high end, yeah,
crazy high end. And I actually found an old toxic card the other day. I think I sent you a picture of that.
Yeah, yep, you did.
Yeah, so I love the toxic cards. Hopefully they come with a toxic card. I think that AMD fanboys would just love that, and so would I. But this is good. And again, the only thing that bothers me about this is like I feel like this is what the Nitro should have been.
Should have been. Yep.
Maybe not clockwise, but just
aesthetics and aesthetics, cooling and yep.
Yeah. Like I would have liked the Nitro Plus, the original Nitro Plus, to have these ARGB fans because they look so good. But yeah, it just gives them another reason to sell this one higher. It should be more expensive, obviously, because it is special edition and you're getting more. The three ARGB fans are obviously gonna add to the cost as well. Yeah. So what is up next for news? Interesting, because I wanted to talk about this because we don't talk about Apple all that much because this is mainly a PC podcast.
Yep.
But Apple did announce their 16-inch new MacBook Pro. They're calling it the world's best Pro notebook. And there are some interesting things that I did notice about this. So first, it is powered by the, 6 and 8 core processors, 9th generation, sure, Intel processors. So they went Intel with the processor, and they went, AMD
for graphics
with the graphics. So the graphics are, Radeon Pro 5000M.
Okay.
Graphics. So you have, this is 7 nanometer graphics with 8 gigabytes of VRAM. So those two things together, actually, I feel they make for a good pairing. You know what I mean? I think that's pretty good. One thing I really do like about the MacBooks ever since they introduced it was this little touch bar deal. Like they show it here editing video and in certain applications.
What are you doing with it there, though?
So, so that's your timeline.
No, right.
You can increase and decrease. I edit a lot of video.
It looks so tiny.
Yeah, but you're not doing anything. You just move it with your finger, so on your screen it becomes bigger, smaller. Think of it as a zoom, but it's the zoom on clips in your timeline. And I think that just this touch bar in certain applications is amazing.
Yep.
So I do like that. You're going to get that. And another thing that's really interesting about this is 8 terabytes of storage. That is a lot.
Solid state?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the price? A lot.
So the configured, the 8 core at least I, from what I saw earlier today, the 8-core configured with the Radeon Pro, or yeah, the Radeon Pro with the 8 terabyte SSD is $6,000. That's where this is just stupid.
Wow.
$6,000 for crazy. A laptop.
Yeah.
And one that's limited at that. If you think, that's why I want to talk about
well, how much of this is like soldered on? Well, I guess looking at that.
I mean, I don't know what's what here. A lot of these are batteries.
Some
of
them battery.
It does right. come with an upgraded battery. From my, not my experience, because I've never owned a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, but these are not easily to, you know, nothing's no. upgradable. Like you just get a new MacBook.
Everything's soldered on.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
But think of $6,000. Let's just say
that. That's a lot. Yeah, $6,000 get you a lot.
Think of $6,000. And think of what you could get with $6,000. Even I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, like, I could build a high-end desktop system on Intel or AMD with a 2080 Super or 2080 Ti.
Mm-hmm.
Completely, like, you know, great storage, everything. For, like, what, $3,000?
Maybe yeah, four? I mean, the eight terabytes of solid state is kind of... You might run into yeah. a so, pricing piece but there.
Like, even if I built a system for like $4,500, a desktop system,
mm-hmm.
I still have money over for an awesome display, or I can get a laptop.
A laptop well. To go along with it, right?
Yeah, like I could get two things, or I could build like something that like would completely outpace that, and even outpace their Mac Pro, which is like $25,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like the pricing is crazy. MacBook, I mean, Apple pricing in general is crazy. But it is interesting to see that they've gone with, you know, AMD for the graphics. They never worked with NVIDIA in the past anyways, but it was interesting to see what, you know, what they were going to do. And it is the first 8 terabyte notebook with 8 terabyte of SSD storage. I guess that's cool. Obviously MacBook Pros, they're catered towards creators and people who would need that storage. But I just think that again, with the amount of money that it costs, you could build an awesome desktop yeah. and you could have an awesome laptop. Like most gaming laptops are like $2,500, like for like the best you can get
yeah.
with like a desktop class graphics card in there.
I'm interested to see. So they have that, you know, Radeon Pro 5000M. And we ran into an issue at work where on a brand new laptop that we had where the Creative Cloud suite, some of the applications didn't even support the newest graphics card and you weren't able to take advantage of that hardware. And that was actually an issue for us. And I just flipped over to their supported video cards and I'm not seeing that there. And even in that press release, yeah. you know, there's information about DaVinci Resolve, but nothing about like, you know, Adobe. Premiere or anything yeah. like that. So I'm wondering. Well,
that's the one thing that I do have to say about Apple products. And like, you may think like they're underpowered, but everything, all of the applications are made for that specific hardware.
Right. Right.
And that's why people love their MacBooks, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's why certain, you know, and that's why they can say this is $6,000. And that's why they can say the Mac Pro is $25,000.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, if it doesn't support it yet, that's not good.
Yep.
I don't know when these come out. They was just announced today.
I mean, it could be pretty soon because a lot of times they're just like, oh, and it's available now or yeah. next week, you know?
Yeah. So, if you're a Mac person, I know you're probably excited, especially if you're like a Mac Pro person. You're definitely excited for this.
Yeah.
We are not because we're not Mac yeah. people. and then finally, we have one other little piece of news. And I love this because I'm an old school person. I just wanted to talk about it. Is that Thermalright released their AXP90 full copper, which is a Ooh. Revision of their AXP90 top flow CPU cooler. It's all copper. We've seen a lot of these low profile CPU coolers get all copper versions. I reviewed the CryoRig one. which was all copper, which I don't know. It's just like, it's so old school to me. We see nickel plated copper stuff, and we see, you know, we don't see like an all copper heatsink. Obviously, all copper heatsink means that you're going to get better thermal performance, because typically all of these fins, all of the heatsink material itself is aluminum in most CPU coolers. So having all copper means just better thermal performance, which you should expect from this. But I just, like I said, and I like that they didn't nickel plate it. They just made it.
Sure. The orangish red.
Yeah. Yes. If you, like I said, I'm an old school person.
Natural copper.
I think it's cool. They will be selling two different versions depending on if you're Intel or AMD, which kind of makes sense, so you don't have to figure out mounting systems and all that other crap. Cool. But yeah, that's basically it for news this week, guys. There's not a whole lot going on. I mean, they're just not.
Yep.
but we talk about what we have coming up next week, and they're in this case behind me. Oh, I can actually point right at it. But anyways, they're in this case behind me, and it's blacked out, not on purpose, but just because it's that case. But Corsair will be releasing new fans tomorrow. Cool. That's all I can say. If you know Corsair, you can get an idea of what they probably be about. But they'll have new fans tomorrow. So definitely stay tuned for that. So by the time everybody who's listening on audio, you just check the website. The review will be up and everything like that. So definitely stay tuned for that. And I'll be taking a look at another chair this upcoming week, which I'm really excited to finally put together. It's been sitting here for a while. Is that our friends over at Autonomous, the same people that made this desk and actually this chair too, which I previously reviewed. This is their new Kin chair. It's supposed to be ergonomic chair, kind of like to take on like a Herman Miller, but obviously at
a lot cheaper,
like less than half of the price. I haven't even opened it, so I'll be taking a look. I think I might open it tomorrow and put it together. But yeah, like I'm excited to see what it's all about. I was like the gaming chair guy after we got a couple into review, and I really like those compared to like a normal office chair.
Yeah.
And then I got this chair, which I forget what chair this is. This is the Ergo chair. Oh wait, is it the Ergo chair too? The Ergo chair 2, which I'm actually sitting in now from Autonomous. This made me rethink everything, because it actually like it hits all the right points, and it's a more comfortable chair to sit in for hours on end. I'm totally like all the gaming chairs are kind of like, and I like, you know, these type of chairs better. So now I'm excited to take a look at the Kin chair, which is their brand new chair. We'll see how that does. And, you know, another new thing for my setup, which I'm pretty pumped about.
Yeah.
And then I'll be taking a look at a portable hard drive from WD or Western Digital.
5 terabytes.
It's their 5 terabytes. My passport, I have it right here. Not opened yet, but yeah, 5 terabytes. This is USB 3.0. I hate this. I hate USB. It's technically, it's USB 3.2 Gen 1.
What are they calling it, though?
No, it is technically USB 3.2 Gen 1, but it's USB 3.1 Gen 1.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so my passport has been basically their
travel drive.
Their travel drive for years, even back to, I think, even USB 2.0, honestly. New design. They actually have their own backup software and everything too. So this is everything covered when you need a drive that, you know, you might have it hooked up to your desktop. And then when you're traveling, you can take this with you. It's small. So I'll be taking a look at that. 5 terabyte, a lot of space there. So I'm excited to take a look at all three of those products. So we'll have that coming up for you guys next week. And it's the end of the podcast. So we talk about if we did anything cool this week. Did anything tech related? Did you do anything?
I know Friday I finally loaded up the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare, played the single player on that for a while.
Is it good?
It is. It looks really great.
I've never been a Call of Duty. I don't think I've played one. Maybe I played the original Modern Warfare, but that's about it.
Yeah, I played like Call of Duty 1 and 2, and then I played a lot of Call of Duty 4, the first Modern Warfare.
Or maybe I did pretty religiously. The original Call of Duties were like
the older night, yeah, World War
Okay,
I
maybe I stuff. Played those.
Okay.
I don't think I played the. I think I might have played the first Modern Warfare because I remember it was a big deal that they were going from like older, you know, back in time to like modern. Current. Yeah.
Yeah. So. No, it was fun. The single player is pretty good. I ran into an issue that it looks like a lot of people have with some stuttering in the cutscenes. But if I was looking, you know, at my resource monitor and just kind of monitoring performance of my system during it, and it looks like nothing's going on. So there is a lot of people kind of having that issue. So maybe I'll get patched.
These new game releases are just not.
They got to meet that deadline. Yeah. And then I played some of the multiplayer Monday. I had that Monday off, so I got a little bit of time to play that. And I'm just an old man and can't keep up.
Can't keep up with those kids. No. You got to get this.
So
yeah, no, it's that's like so crazy. It's like sometimes I just want to play a single player game. Like I just do.
Oh yeah, it was nice to go into that single player world and be like, well. If I mess up and die, at least I don't have to worry about anybody yelling at me and I'll just start over and do it again.
Like, you kind of just like want to relax and play a game. Like you don't want to be super, I don't know, just, yeah. That's why I need a new good single player game, but I just haven't, I haven't had time to play games anyways, but I'd like a new single player game that I could just play and have fun on my own terms and on my own speed as I'm getting older, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I gotcha. What about you? Did you do anything? Play anything? Messed with anything? No.
No, I really haven't done anything. I have been watching. It's not super tech related, but there's not a whole lot of tech in it actually. But Jack Ryan on Netflix.
Okay.
It stars Jim from The Office, who you wouldn't think. Krasinski. You would not. Yeah, you would not think of him as like an action hero.
So but pulled off pretty well.
He pulls it off really well, which makes me like respect him more as an actor. But it is a really good series. It's season two just started on Amazon, right? Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Okay.
So if you have a Prime subscription, you can watch it for free, obviously.
Yeah.
But the first season was amazing, and now we're on season two, and it's just as good. And like, it's one of those shows where like you want to watch every second of it. Like you don't. It's not one of those shows you like. Oh, I'm eating. I just put this on. Like you want to watch it, so that's but that like again, that's not really tech related. I really haven't done anything else. Just been working on reviews for you guys. So a lot
talking about Netflix and Amazon. Maybe remember that Disney Plus is out now. So
I got a
free full year with Verizon. So
I did see that. They were doing.
So I got to get signed up and take advantage of that.
Yeah, what's the Star Wars show going to be called?
The Mandalorian.
Yeah, so Star Wars fans obviously big into that. I'm not gonna get it. I have my girlfriend has Hulu, so we use her account for that. I have Netflix and I have Amazon Prime. I honestly don't watch a whole lot of TV. Like I do when I eat lunch and stuff, but that's about it. Yeah. I watch a lot of YouTube too. So like I feel like I'm full on subscriptions, and I feel like I don't pay for cable, but like it, you know, you add the subscriptions up,
you're almost up to it, right?
Yeah. How much is that per month?
It was like $7.99, I think, a month, or $7 a month, or $70 a year.
Okay, so that's not horrible.
No.
But again, you add those up, like you have that, then you have HBO if you're Game of Thrones or whatever, and then you have like your ESPN Plus or all that stuff. It eventually adds up, which I think. That's like the way we're going because cable is an old technology, I feel.
Yeah, no? I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job of, I mean, they supply all the channels you want, you know, yeah, and all the shows. True. So,
yeah. But yeah, guys, that is it for this week. I know it's a little short, so we're almost about an hour, but it is a little short this week because there's not a whole lot going on. So hopefully we have some more news next week. We do have those reviews coming up as well and new videos coming as well. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. But if you are looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or website or software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.